When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk about all things Star Wars. My name is James.
I'm David.
And I am Joseph.
Not John David today, but you're just David.
Actually, yes. No. Today I will be...
Jeremy David.
JD. Jeremiah Jingleheim. No.
But yes, we are all here, and we have a few things to talk about. And I guess the big thing that we're going to talk about is... The Galaxy's Edge.
Nope.
Which is still open and it's pretty great anyways. No. But Jedi Fallen Order gameplay was released.
Yeah, they had E3 is going on as we speak right now. It's a giant gaming, I don't want to say convention. It's like a
expo.
Yeah, expo. Good word. That happens once a year where the gaming community comes together and kind of releases all its big things, and honestly, Jedi Fallen Order was like a big centerpiece to it this year.
Because I think everybody wanted they wanted to hype it up, and two, I think everybody was kind of like, what is this going to look like? Is it going to look good, or is it going to look...
Well, and the other thing is, in my opinion, because of the gaming community, EA has been throwing out some clunkers.
Yes.
And so, with them teaming up with, I think it's Respawn, the guys who did Titanfall, they're hoping that those two teams together will really produce something great, and... From what I saw in the gameplay trailer, holy smokes, did they put something together that I think Star Wars fans are going to like.
It looks, I mean, some of the things look like the Force Unleashed, you know, maybe a little bit, but most of it is like, whoa, that's interesting. What did you think about it, David?
I thought the gameplay was awesome. It was kind of what I've been wanting this whole time. Yes. When you swipe someone with the saber, you see like the molten pieces of them, like kind of like
when he was fighting the scout troopers in the very beginning of the trailer, and you just see the laser lines through their chest and torso. I was like,
and the like little parkour ability as well, running on walls
that
momentarily.
Was awesome.
And what's funny is that's like a signature thing from Respawn. They had that in Titanfall as well.
Right.
So, oh, really?
So it was
Had the code for it.
Yeah. But yeah, it looks incredible. The force powers that they showed that Cal, the main character, can use,
which is
looks so awesome.
Yeah, some of it though was a little like, ooh, I don't know if a Jedi should be like.
We were texting. I was like, that seems a little dark side to me. There,
what was the big one that got you? Like the power that he could do.
All three of us are going to say the same thing. I think the time stop. Where he froze lasers and stormtroopers in their tracks, much like Kylo Ren did in The Force Awakens.
Like Kylo Ren,
but then when he pulled the stormtrooper who shot the laser beam and then scooted over a couple steps so that that same stormtrooper got hit by its own laser.
Yeah, what a way to go. It's like, dude, that really sucks.
I lost it. I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh! Like
that was awesome.
It was amazing.
For me, the one thing that he does in the clip, because with the clip, if you haven't seen it, it's him going on a quick little mission. We only see like maybe like 10 minutes or 13 minutes of a mission.
I think the one I saw was 13 minutes and 47 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. And
Saw Gerrera's there.
Okay, yeah, he meets Saw Gerrera, and it's Forrest Whitaker as the voice of Saw Gerrera. And at first, I got confused because, like, wait, the timeline doesn't make. Yeah, it does.
Yes, it does. It's right after episode 3.
And then it made more sense to me.
I did the same thing. I was like, Socrates, where is his hair? Oh no, this is fine. Okay, this is fine.
Yeah, exactly. He's bald, so he looks the same from the beginning of Rogue.
From Rogue One, but it's a similar design to what they had in the cartoon.
And I love the droid. The droid looks cool.
Okay, what's his name again?
Oh, it's BD-1, and it stands for Buddy Droid 1. they had started it in when they were just developing the game, they just kind of put BD1 in there as a like a placeholder. Yeah. And by the time the game came to production, they were like, BD1 still works.
It sounds like Star Wars. Like BD1, like it's like, oh yeah, that's a Star Wars.
Yeah.
Story. And BD1 first, it, almost like with Iden Versio, it hangs on his back. But BD1 actually legit hangs on his back, whereas Iden Versio's had like a little.
It was like an modified interrogator droid almost. Yeah.
And he had like a section on. She had like a section on her back that it could just like
clipped into.
This guy looks like he's literally just holding on to his back, and he almost treats him like a dog. Like,
he's so like, actually, okay, buddy. I have the BD1. Thing from StarWars.com.
All right, what you got?
That I saved. So BD-1 is a companion droid designed to assist operations in remote or dangerous locations across the galaxy. BD-1 has an almost disturbing enthusiasm for data collection and little regard for self-preservation. Like other BD units, this droid was programmed to be the ideal assistant to a researcher or explorer operating alone in the field with its ability to traverse all types of terrain.
Nice.
When I saw BD-1, I was like, dang, I thought Dio was a cute little droid. I thought BB-8 was a cute little droid before that, but BD-1's adorable.
Yeah, BD-1 is adorable.
Yeah, he's like a miniature walker.
Yeah, he has the little legs. I was trying to get he almost looks like Ed-209 from RoboCop 2, the way his legs.
He reminds me of the Mouser droids from Ninja Turtles. Yeah. Do you remember the 90s cartoons? Yeah, they had little chicken legs, and there was like a million of them, and they would eat you.
Jeez. That got dark really fast, but anyway, I'm just kidding.
Ninja Turtles, what are you going to do?
But yeah, BD-1 looks really cool, and he even, like, talks to him like a dog. He goes, did you hear that, buddy?
Yeah.
They want me to do this. This is pretty cool. And so, what's his name again? Cameron Monaghan, I'm going to call him. What's his
name? Character's name is Cal. I don't remember the last name.
So, Cal is this young guy who has a ton of power, but he's also, and they make it apparent in just the few clips we saw, he's still young. He's still a young kid. Cal
Kestis.
Kestis. And you could tell, like, when he gets told, he's like, oh my gosh, I get to do this. This is so exciting. They need a Jedi. Well, here we go.
Well, and he was a Padawan that escaped Order 66, so it's wild.
It's awesome. And the gameplay, like we said, is really cool. The graphics look really great. Mm-hmm. And he did something in the game that I was like, ooh, that was weird. He was able to pull the last... like words of a stormtrooper,
like the last memory out of
last memory of a stormtrooper out.
Wow.
And he was able to hear what the last thing they said. Mm-hmm. And when I saw that I was like dude either the Star Wars fans are gonna love it, or they're gonna be like, that's a power we haven't seen before. This is not, you know what I mean?
Well, and that's one of the ones that I was like, that feels dark side a little bit. The way he murdered people was kind of dark side, but they're stormtroopers.
It's stormtroopers.
What are you gonna do, right?
It's all right.
But also, so in the gameplay trailer, they're on Kashyyyk.
Yes.
And other than fighting stormtroopers and the...
whatever those troopers were.
I can't remember what they're called.
Like, whatever.
Purge troopers? Is that right?
I know Colin would know. I think they were Purge.
I think it's Purge troopers.
Yeah.
Other than fighting the Imperials, he also fought creatures from Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
The giant spiders, the exploding bugs, whatever those were, the fire bugs.
Yeah, that was weird.
So if we get each planet has its own creatures that you fight, its own citizens that you fight alongside or fight against. Dude, this game is going to be insane. From what I understand, the gameplay trailer happens about 3 hours into the game.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So I think what we saw at the trailer they showed us, I think that's like just the beginning of the game when he finally learns to like let himself become the Jedi. Because in the trailer, as you remember, he's like trying to hide, trying not to do anything. And then at the end of the trailer is when he reaches out and he grabs his friend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that may be the first 3 hours of this game.
Yeah, is him going from point A to...
Yep.
Point B, basically.
and then when we see him now in the gameplay is like the story is now taken off, and we're gonna get to see him.
Yeah, that's probably the right after the prologue of the game, you know.
So
after
let me ask you this question: controls. Is he gonna live? Is he gonna survive this game?
I don't know. Because that's a good question,
and that's one thing I don't like. I mean, I love that they're introducing these characters, but then it's like kind of like that. Okay, well, if he lives, what's he doing throughout 4, 5, and 6,
right?
You know, and or if he dies, it's like, well, that kind of sucks.
Galaxy's really big.
Yeah, true. I mean, they can go anywhere, and they need more stuff.
One of the things I know for sure, the guy who hosted the EA Play, I think was the event that they did at E3, asked the game developers, you know, a lot of Star Wars games will give you an option between light side and dark side, and you can build points either way to either thing. Does this game have something like that? And the developer just went up, no, it does not have anything like that.
So it's just a story. They know
it's a straight story, and the end result is...
It's going to be the same for everybody.
I believe so, but also Cal becomes a Jedi.
Okay.
That's the end result, if I'm not mistaken.
Or he dies.
Or he dies.
We don't know.
But yeah, from what I understand, it's the story of a Padawan becoming a Jedi Knight, becoming one of the few Jedi who are left alive in the galaxy.
And you know what's cool is, you know, Cameron Monaghan is... That's how you say his name, right? Cameron Monaghan. Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. he's a very talented actor.
Yeah.
To where if they did, like, a standalone Obi-Wan Kenobi, he still had the age where he could show up in that and talk to Obi-Wan about stuff. And it would work. It wouldn't be like, well, what's he doing? No, it would work. Yeah. So...
If he popped into The Mandalorian with some aged-up makeup or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, he's a super talented actor, and... When I saw him at Celebration, I was like, what's he doing there at Celebration?
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, man, he's like the face of Fallen Order. That's amazing. And yeah, it
got my hype levels up real big for watching that gameplay.
I cannot. So this game comes out, what was it, November
15th. 15th. And it's set for, you can pre-order it now.
Yeah. And they
PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
They had a deal where it was like really cheap a couple of weeks ago. And I was going to do it, but I forgot to order it. It was like... It's like $40 or something like that to order it.
I mean, you'd be saving $20, but
hey, still,
you might be able to find a deal on Amazon.
And so, Triple Force Friday. We're only gonna get like shirts from it and like a poster from it because they're promoting Mandalorian, the game, and The Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. The game's not gonna come out until the next 2 months later, almost, or a month later,
about a month, yeah.
So it's like, okay, what are you... How are they going to promote?
Merchandise. Toys.
Merchandise.
Yeah. But yeah, that's where all the toys are going to come out. All the... all the Lego sets. Yeah, which I'm always excited for.
I was going to say, we need a button here of Mel Brooks saying merchandise. Anytime we get a chance. But yeah, because I was always convinced the game was going to come out
on Triple Force.
Triple Force, right.
And that we'd all be able to come home and just play it all night and...
But I like where they're like when they're releasing the game because it'll give you we'll have the Mandalorian, we'll have the game. Yep. It'll be just enough Star Wars stuff to tide us over until The Rise of Skywalker comes out.
So they're hoping you get Disney Plus, mm-hmm. and then when you're done watching Mandalorian, you put in Jedi Fallen Order and play it right away. And then you wait a month and then there's The Rise of Skywalker pretty much.
I saw a screenshot from one of the betas of the Disney Plus Star Wars screen, and Clone Wars is already listed on there.
Yeah, I saw that too. So they're going to get seasons 1 through
6.5 or whatever.
Are going to be ready to go for you to watch. So that's really great. I got excited. And I got a little too excited because I thought the new season was going to be on there.
Oh, no, that doesn't come out until later in 2020.
I was like, damn it. But it was pretty cool, though. And Disney Plus is... we should start seeing more. When is D23? That's like this summer, right?
Yeah, I think it's right either a little bit before. I think it's a little bit before Comic-Con. So it should be happening at some point.
So we're going to be getting some massive like Disney Plus stuff. And they're going to show us the interface. I mean, they already showed us, but they're going to really like show us this is what to expect in a couple of months. And I'm excited for Disney Plus. I'm really, really psyched. But anyways...
Actually, it's August 23rd through the 25th.
Is D23?
Yeah.
All right. So then, that makes sense that they'll give a good preview of it. So everybody gets
excited.
Release
a full-length trailer for Rise of Skywalker at that point. Possibly.
Or The Mandalorian.
Or both.
Man, they're not going to release another... I mean, as much as I want them to release another Rise of Skywalker trailer, they're going to wait until October to release that. Or is it October or November when they release the tickets? It's been the past few years, been October. I would love for them to show us. And Toy Story 4 would be the best time to show a trailer or The Lion King. Imagine that. You got to go watch The Lion King or Toy Story 4, and then you get another Star Wars trailer. And you're just like, dude, this is great.
No, every time I see the Star Wars trailer in theaters, I get hyped. So
me too, man. It's like, yes, yes, it's awesome. What you got?
So I went to one of my 501st brother's birthday party yesterday, and they were talking about stuff, and they mentioned something that I had never read, seen, or heard about. You know? Uh-oh. And the big thing with 501st is like coin trading. We trade metal coins with each other, and they're customized. And someone brought up, did you hear about the coin at Galaxy's Edge? I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, yeah, you buy a coin, and it's their currency. It's credits. And you have to load it with at least $100. So you do that, and then you can walk around the park, hand your coin off, and pay for your stuff with the coin.
Get out of town.
That is amazing.
So they load credits onto a credit chip, basically.
Right.
Republic credits?
Well, apparently it's...
New Republic credits.
It's actually Batuan ancient currency.
Ooh.
So sick.
So it legit is,
and it's a metal coin. Mm-hmm. This thing ain't gonna, like, break or anything.
So you can keep it afterwards. And right. If you go back to Batu, you can load it up with more money.
Yes. And they're limited, I don't know to how many per person, but you can't, like, go and say, hey, I want a bunch of these coins.
Yeah, I'll take
them. And they sold out the first couple of weeks, I think.
Well, yeah.
And because they got, like, really hot, and on eBay, they started showing up for $80 a piece any money on them.
Well, how much do you buy them for when you're there?
You have to, I'm not sure what the price is, but I know you have to at least load $100 on it, minimum.
That would suck. You got to spend like $20 on the thing and then to add another $100 just so you can spend it.
I mean, they'll still take like my debit card and stuff.
Batu,
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's like really cool. That's like a really cool.
I mean, that is pretty legit though.
I mean, yeah, that's what we were wondering is how immersive is it going to be? Like, will you not even pull
immersive.
Out?
I mean, it's as immersive as you want it to be. That is a hard sentence.
That was a very hard sentence to say. Man. Thank you.
Sorry, everybody.
That one out. But that's awesome.
I did that for the listeners, though.
That was for you. That's really cool, though. I'm glad that they have something like that in place for
you
when you go
sick.
There. Whatchamacallit? What else we got in the news before we get to that other topic that we might lose listeners for? But it just depends. There's a topic we're going to come up here now that might be controversial.
Do you want to get into the Akbar stuff?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Akbar, the actor who played the puppeteer for Akbar, which is the guy who's in the suit, right? Is that correct?
When you say
the
puppeteer?
Because the guy who did the voice passed away, I think, like right after The Force Awakens or right before The Force Awakens.
Right after.
Was it right after? Correctly. So the voice of Akbar, he passed away, and mm-hmm. he had a really good voice. I remember when you see Return of the Jedi, he has a really good. Yeah. When you see
it's
him,
commanding
like, yeah.
the voice.
And so the actor who did the puppet of Akbar back in Return of the Jedi, I mean, why do we keep saying puppet? Never mind.
Because it is a very impressive puppet.
So he came back for The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi. And as we all know, in The Last Jedi, Akbar dies off screen. And the actor he did it once, and I think at Celebration, he also like kind of came out and like really bashed the film The Last Jedi
right.
for how they treated Akbar and how they treated him on the set. And you just said it before, and I think you should say it now before the pod.
Were talking about how... I mean, we should probably get into exactly what he was upset about.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
So he was upset because, you know, he's on screen for maybe a shot or two in The Last Jedi.
He's on screen, for like one or two shots.
And then he gets sucked into the void of space.
Yes.
Thanks to some TIE fighters.
Yes.
And after he was done shooting, I think it's kind of funny, but the group that was there, including Rian Johnson, said, hey, in costume, can you come shoot this thing on... just look into the camera as Akbar and say, it's a wrap as Akbar, because it's funny.
That's
like,
amazing. That's phenomenal. Why would you not do that if you're making a movie?
And I think he did it. It sounds like he did it, but he said afterwards he had to go off by himself for like 30 minutes because he was so upset with the way that he was treated as an actor and the way that they mishandled the character, in his opinion. Which, I mean, he's not wrong, per se, but, you know, the character of Akbar is huge, especially in the extended universe
yes.
and in the movies. But when you look at the movies, he's got 10 to 15 minutes of screen time in Return of the Jedi.
Not even 10 to 15
minutes. I mean, it's intercut with giant space battles and yeah,
if you,
and
I think if you were to add up all the scenes Ackbar is in, it's probably like less than 10 minutes.
Like altogether,
yeah. It's less than 10
And that's
minutes.
Including Return of the Jedi, Force Awakens, and The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
You're probably right. So for an actor who got a grand total of 9.5 minutes of screen time, for him to be this upset... The character is huge in the extended universe, especially with the comics and the Clone Wars. Clone Wars, that's a great storyline in the Clone Wars where he gets the king put back into power on, mm-hmm. on the planet of Mon Cala. But in the movies, he wasn't that big of a player. And so for him to be this upset by a joke and not treating him as a joke, because he does do a great performance as that character... They said the article I read had, I think David sent it to us. Mm-hmm. It was the one where, you know, after, I think it's Vader's Super Star Destroyer goes down, everybody on the bridge is all celebrating, and Ackbar's just like, whew, like takes a breath, mm-hmm. and he's just like, oh, we did something, right? Yes. Yeah. And that was the actor's call, which was a great call.
That's one of my favorite parts of that battle, was everyone's all cheering, and you just see him like
kind of slump
gosh.
Into his command chair and take a break. But for him to be this upset, he had a small part.
Yeah, I don't agree for him to be that upset about a role. It's almost like if the guy who did the voice of Watto
why isn't Watto
like everything. He gets all mad and they're like, well, dude, you only had like a couple of scenes. Actually, I think Watto has more screen time than Ackbar does.
It's probably close.
Yeah, but okay, and then now he was talking about how he didn't agree with the fact that it was. Haldo, who did the suicide
who
run.
Did the Haldo maneuver.
Yeah, he was like, it should have been Ackbar. It always should have been Ackbar. And, like, Ackbar should never... Like, it was unfair for him to die off screen the way he did for all the fans. Don't worry about that. For all the fans like to see. What's your opinion about Ackbar dying off screen? How did you feel about that? I remember we had dinner at the pizza place in Chicago, your friend, man, he just went off.
He lost it on it.
He was like, Ackbar died off screen? Like, that doesn't make any sense. How do you feel about him dying off screen?
Probably both ways about it. I mean, I would have preferred him to, like, not have been on the bridge at that certain moment of time. Maybe he would have been in, like, the restroom or something. Stuff's going down, Ackbar. Wait a minute. Where's Ackbar? He went to the restroom.
Stuff's going down, Ackbar. I gotta go.
But then the controversy then would be like, Ackbar wasn't even there on the bridge.
Ackbar's
he should
like,
have been there.
I get the nervous poops. I have to go. Sorry.
At my home planet, you don't understand.
You don't understand.
It's too warm on this bridge.
Actually, they would prefer it warm and clammy.
That's true. That's very true. But anyways...
I thought they keep it cold.
Well, because they're under...
No, if I remember correctly, the Mon Cal ships are very... Like, the moisture in the air is very, very high, and I believe it's warm. I could be wrong, but I think it's almost like a tropical feel.
Because they live mostly under... Some of them live underwater.
Well,
because
they're amphibious. So, yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool. But anyways, okay, so... You're okay with him. You rather he would not have died. On the
I was kind of like let down when that happened.
Mm-hmm. But that's your opinion on all of the Last Jedi.
Well, not all of it.
I mean, how would you? Okay, now let's ask this question: how would you have done it differently? I'm not saying like we're gonna make fun of you. I want to know like how could Ackbar's death been something meaningful, but it has to pertain to the story that it's being told at that moment. Because at that moment, you have a really intense scene. Of Leia and Kylo Ren communicating with each other. And then imagine if the scene happens and then they just cut to Ackbar. Because he said they filmed it. They filmed a stunt guy like flying toward the window and like grabbing mm-hmm. on and then flying out.
Well, during that scene, Leia is like force sensing yes. her son. Mm-hmm. And it could have been one of those situations like everyone evacuate the bridge. Everyone gets out and it's only her sucked out.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of that leadership still lives. And it's just her, and she's like the last one out, you know? Could have been set up like
that. Well, and it also always bothered me that she was the only one we saw get sucked out on screen. I mean,
well,
it was
focused. Like so close
it's
to her
so
face.
Close to her face. Yeah. But so whenever they get back into it, I personally was like, where's Ackbar? Where's the other people that were on the... You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I just... It makes sense that they all got sucked out, but it was just... done, and it didn't really leave anything. They didn't explain it to the audience at all.
I guess he was like, the next scene we're going to tell you what did happen.
Right.
You know? So I guess that was their justification for not. But I guess for me, the emotion that was going on at that moment, you couldn't have done it any other way with what they were trying to show at that moment. Because at that moment, it's between Ben Solo and Leia.
Right.
Like, that's all that matters in that scene. And so I was thinking about it, and I can see why they cut out a scene of Ackbar, like, trying, like, almost flying out and, like, grabbing on and flying out again.
Cause, right.
Because imagine your average moviegoer who knows Ackbar from Return of the Jedi, mm-hmm. who doesn't watch the Clone Wars, and they just cut to the scene, and you're kind of like, oh, why did that guy get, like, a moment? You know what I mean? Like, why did this guy get this moment before it all happened?
Well, and with the new trilogy, there's people that have never seen the original trilogy that are like, oh, yeah, this true. Is a good jumping on point.
I want to say right here that, Joseph was right. The indoor temperatures were higher than average, and the humidity in the air was intense. See, I'm always thinking about Radis. Radis is the different Mon Cals. They're used to colder. That's why my brain went there. But yeah, the traditional, like, orange-colored Mon Calamarian species.
Well, there's a few white ones there on the bridge of Return of the Jedi, right? Like,
no,
aren't there?
No. Not on the bridge. There's, okay. No, the white ones are in Rogue One.
They're only in Rogue One.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could have sworn there's, like, a light-colored one. But anyways. Oh, Mandela effect. I'm just joking.
You put that out there, James.
So Ackbar should have gotten more of a moment, or should Ackbar have lived and then done the suicide run there at the
end? That would have been fitting for him to do that. But Disney had a stance on sending a character named Ackbar flying into a superstructure because of the whole reality we live in.
Yeah.
You know, as we, you know, you say that, it does make sense, right, for them to, like, be like, yeah, no, he should we not have, we yeah. cannot have him do that, because it immediately, like, I could see the memes popping up all over, you know, the internet immediately, like, as soon as you see the ship fly in, somebody would pause it and they would just write, you know, right. Anyway,
so if Ryan Johnson got that memo from his higher ups, maybe then it's like where he was like, oh, I gotta do something with Ackbar now. He's not in the rest of the film,
mm-hmm.
but then again, maybe just not show him. Maybe
yeah.
I'm not running around. I mean,
yeah, but then, I don't know. For me, when it says that he died,
yeah,
I was like, oh, I was disappointed, but then I was like, man, this is, it got real. It gets real at that moment.
Right.
And I think that's a really cool thing to do, or you don't show it. I mean, in the film, they always tell you, show, don't tell. Like,
right.
But for some of those moments, you're like, oh man, like this is really serious. Like, Ackbar's gone, and it happens so fast. You can't even grasp that it happened, mm-hmm. Then after that happened, I was like, okay, I get it. Like, I'm okay with not seeing Ackbar. I'm sad, but I understand what they were like. This happened. It's serious. We have to keep moving now. Our ultimate two leaders, pretty much, which would be Leia and Ackbar, are not here.
Right.
So we need to.
Yeah, Leia's unconscious.
Yeah. And I was like, I get it. And but some people were like
upset.
They should never have. He should have had a moment. And I'm like, I'm okay with him not having a moment when he
still got nine of them.
Yeah, he's still around, unless he dies in the Rise of Skywalker. We have no idea.
I mean, he could.
Okay, so
I have a feeling him and Rose Tico are going to have screen time together, like a decent amount of it.
And I hope.
Like some of the, like, Rose Tico, Leia, and Nub are going to be, like, on some Alliance base or something.
I just hope the Rise of Skywalker is like 3.5 hours long. Because everything we're talking about, it's like, yeah, I want a whole movie of that.
I am very curious about the runtime of that movie.
It has to be long. I think once
it should be the longest.
I think once mm-hmm. Endgame did what it did, and for some odd reason, this new generation thinks it's the longest movie.
Endgame was what, 3 hours?
It was over 3 hours.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's not that long.
That made me so mad.
The King was 3 hours, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Right?
But you,
and that's the unbridged version.
But you got to remember, this is this new generation who doesn't know about anything from, like,
beyond, right? Like past 2005.
They were born when Return of the King.
Yeah, and they're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do watching a 3-hour long movie? But how do I'm like, this is not the first time it's happened. So y'all need to.
Yeah.
I was like, y'all were not there for all the
You guys would have
rings.
Died when Gone with the Wind came out.
You guys would have been decimated when Titanic came out. But, you know, Titanic wasn't even 3 hours long. It was like almost 3 hours. It was like almost right at the 3-hour
No,
mark.
It was 3 hours long.
Was it 3 hours?
Yeah, like, it long.
Came on two VHSs.
Yeah, yeah, but they were like, I mean, they hand that thing. Anyways, but whatchamacallit. The Dark Knight was a long movie.
For those kids who don't know what a VHS is, it's it was the pre-DVD,
yep.
Which is the pre-Blu-ray.
Titanic runtime was 3 hours, 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. 5 minutes on. That's with credits, too?
No, I don't know with credits.
I think,
that's
the, I think it usually includes
Does
credits,
it?
Usually.
Okay.
Because when you look on Netflix and it's like an hour and 27 minutes, like it's really only going to be like an hour and...
23, 24.
Yeah.
They had to get that My Heart Will Go On there at the end, though, man. They had to play that whole song.
That song slaps.
We're going to keep everyone there through the whole credits. They're going to watch that whole song. But anyways, but I really want the Rise of Skywalker to be like 3 hours and like 15, 3 hours and 10 minutes long.
At least 3 hours.
Or you just have a story that never stops and you make it 2 hours and 45 minutes long. You know what I mean? Like... And that's the way everyone's talking about this movie and the way we've seen in the trailers. It's like, mm-hmm. This movie's not going to let up. And that's what I really want with The Rise of Skywalker.
I want it to move, too. Like,
oh, it's going
to
move.
I don't want there to be any drag. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, yeah.
When you sat down for Infinity War and it was just pop, pop, pop. Like, one thing after another.
And then when you sat down for Endgame, you're like...
And then the last, like, 30 minutes.
You're like, pop, pop, pop. That's another controversy. We're not going to get into that. Anyways, so Akbar dies off screen. It's okay. We're all okay with it. Would have been cool to see him do the Haldo maneuver, but
I understand why.
But we understand 100% why they did it that way. You know who else they killed off screen that nobody remembers? Bail Organa. He gets killed off screen.
Well, he gets killed on screen along with the rest of his planet.
That's so depressing.
I mean, I'm not wrong.
If we're not mistaken.
If you zoom really, really in on the planet, you can see him go, aw.
You see him hugging his wife.
Next to Leia's droid, nursery droid.
And they hug each other. They see the bright light. And he says, it was so hot. And like that's like where they died. It was depressing.
They have that scene in from a certain point of view.
Yeah, that's what I was citing. Was they describe how they died.
You're rough, man. That scene is real rough. To read through.
It's not fun. I thought they were going to end it at a certain point, but he goes, he just felt the immense heat before he remembered nothing. I was like, oh, what? Anyways, so he dies off screen, kind of, but
more or less,
nobody was really concerned about that. But then the argument is, well, Bail Organa wasn't around when they made those movies. It's like, but don't think about it that way. Think about it as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
You get to 4. And
1, 2, 3, 4, Rogue One, 5,
yeah, 4, and 5, then you're 6. Like, oh, that's it? He just dies off? It's like, yeah, it happens.
Again, he had like 10 minutes of screen time.
Yeah. True, very true. All right. So
most of it was him standing around looking angsty.
Or him just walking into the camera on Rogue One, like walking into the light, just staring.
Yeah.
And then... like, oh, okay, he's in the movie. Honestly, I thought that was going to be his only part in Rogue One.
In Rogue One,
at the very beginning when he walks in just stares. I was like, all right, that's how it
I trust her with my life.
All right, so let's get to the rumor that popped up. And you told us about it, and then I put it on Instagram that we're going to talk about it. So
yeah, I saw one of my Facebook friends mention it, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then I saw it pop up. In a media publication, and then popped up in another media. I'm like, whoa, this thing is getting traction here. And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, it might work. It would be Brie Larson cast as Ahsoka Tano.
Okay, so do you think this rumor started because they met each other at Galaxy's Edge?
No,
and she posted
I think
on
it's
Instagram.
Personally, I think it's just a fan rumor. I don't think she's like in talks or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she did show up at the opening of Galaxy's Edge. And we all knew beforehand she was a huge Star
Wars
fan.
She's a huge Star Wars fan.
And she's close friends with Sam Jackson as well. So she has an in there. If she didn't already have an in being Captain Marvel to Disney.
Well, not even that. She's freaking Brie Larson. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, she doesn't have to have an in to anything. They could just be like, hey, you want
to
like...
Do you want to come to Galaxy's
Edge? Do you want to come to Galaxy's Edge?
Or she could be like, hey, I really want to be there. And they'd be like, okay, you're Captain Marvel. We're going to make it happen.
So how do you feel if say this does happen? How would you feel Brie Larson playing Ahsoka?
I'd be fine with it. I mean, she's a great actress, and if she's right for the part, yeah, I'm all for it.
I could see her doing it. My only issue is she's not old. And by the time Rise of Skywalker comes around, Ahsoka Tano when Luke and Leia are born is already like 17.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's already left the Jedi Order. She's decided.
And then when we see her at the end of Rebels, spoiler,
she might be in Rebels, whatever. That's almost a full 20 years later.
So she's like.
But does that species age?
So yeah, that's my one issue, is I don't know how Togruta's age. Okay, I don't know if they've got a regular human lifespan or if they age slower.
So here's another question. How would you feel about Brie Larson being the voice?
I actually could see it. She's got sort of that lower... She's got that adult Ahsoka Tano voice almost there. And I think maybe she worked with Ashley Eckstein a little bit, between the two of them, they could figure out like a good facsimile of the Ahsoka voice.
So let me ask you this. So you know how a lot of people say Mark Hamill's the best Joker, you know, when he comes... And then the movies come out, no one's... ever says, God, it's not Mark Hamill's voice, so I'm not going to like this movie. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So why...
But so the thing is...
Okay.
Where you're going is, why don't people get upset that it's not the Mark Hamill Joker voice in the movies? Because it's not the same character. It's a different...
Okay, it's a different interpretation
of the Joker.
That does make a lot
That's
of sense.
That's why. If Brie Larson shows up as Ahsoka Tano in Rise of Skywalker... It's the same character from the Clone Wars cartoons. Mm-hmm. It's the same characters from Rebels.
But man, I don't think they're going to have her.
I don't think the odds of that being real are very, very small in my opinion.
Although that's a hell of a way to promote, you know, Clone Wars.
Yeah.
If you throw her in The Rise of Skywalker and everyone's like, who is she? And then they're like, boom, start watching Clone Wars and you get to hear her whole history.
How cool would it be if she is Ahsoka Tano? There's no spoken lines, though. She's just used as, like, the body double for Ahsoka. Because she's kind of got a similar body type to adult Ahsoka, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, muscular, thinner lady.
So you mean, like, they just have her...
Like, they show holovid of her doing something.
That'd be nuts,
dude. I could see that. I mean, they do weird cameos like that in, you know, with... stormtroopers and things like that. Why not just throw some orange makeup on Brie Larson and put a headdress on her and say,
or they just digitally do it, you know what I mean? Just like put the dots on her face and like paint the character over her, and there you go.
And speaking of bringing animated characters into live on screen, people have been thinking maybe we're gonna get to see Hondo in The Rise of Skywalker at some point. Because we know we're gonna see the TIE Echelon that's parked in Galaxy's Edge in The Rise of Skywalker. So who else is at Galaxy's Edge? It's Hondo. And we now have a live action Hondo. And I also found out that the TV screens that you see at Galaxy's Edge, it's not the animatronic, it's an actor in the makeup doing Hondo. So that's not animatronic. The only animatronic I think you see is when you actually see Hondo.
Like
in
full form.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
So you think we're going to get a live-action Hondo?
Well, no, I'm not saying I think. I'm just saying a lot of people are talking about that.
That would be
But that's a possibility.
Cool.
That'd be
because,
wild.
Because
you want to tie in Galaxy's Edge.
Yes. I was going to say merchandising. You
want to cross-promote as much as possible.
And so that would be a smart thing to do, is to have him fly it on the Falcon and land it. And then the movie, or like, he could start the movie off with flying in the Falcon, landing it, and then they leave from there.
Well, no, timeline-wise, he wouldn't have the Falcon at that
point. I
thought
he has the Falcon.
The dish would be wrong, too.
Oh, jeez. I thought he has the Falcon. Batuu takes place between Last Jedi and the Rise of Skywalker, doesn't it?
I don't believe so.
The way that I've interpreted it is Batuu's at the very end of the film.
Of the Last Jedi?
The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, this is afterward?
Yeah.
We should probably look that up right now before we lead our listeners.
But I think that's just not, it's not confirmed by StarWars.com or anything, but I mean, that's what everyone's kind of thinking. That's probably like an end sequence or something, like a Return of the Jedi, we show certain places type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely. But yeah, there's no confirmation where it actually shows up in the film.
Oh, see, I thought Batuu was more during the rise of the First Order.
Yeah, let's look it
That's
up.
That's the impression I was under.
Can we look it up really quickly? In the meantime, Joseph, sing us a song.
Anyway, no, we could continue talking about Batuu, because I learned that one of the characters that is in Batuu is the spy that is in Phasma.
Yes! I knew her name from
her
somewhere.
Her name looked familiar, and the description of her looked familiar, but I think it was Anthony Carboni or the other lady that we were literally just talking about. What the heck is her name? Andy Gutierrez.
Yes.
I think one of them tweeted that when they were shooting for their Star Wars show this week, because it was all in Galaxy's Edge this week. It was awesome. That they walked past the actress and they said that they turned around and they go, "We know who you are," and she and the actress just kind of raised her finger to her lips and was like, "Shh, don't tell anybody I'm here."
That's okay. This says on WDWNT.com, which is like the
World Disney Walt Disney World kind of thing.
Yeah. So it says it literally sits on the edge of the galaxy. Of course, it's 14 acres. And for the timeline, it's set somewhere after the events of The Last Jedi and shortly before December's Episode 9.
Interesting.
I told you. I'm just kidding. No, but I was going to say, though, because he has the Falcon. He's borrowing it from Chewie. So the beginning of the movie could be him bringing back the Falcon to Chewie. And that's how we start the Rise of Skywalker. And then now they have the Falcon, then they can go on their adventure.
And you put the rectangular dish back on then.
Yeah, he did.
Because it gets blown off in the... like caves.
In the caves, yep. So this
so
could,
the first character we could possibly see
is Hondo.
Wow.
That's crazy.
And that makes sense, and that would make people, like, when they go to Galaxy's Edge now, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, yeah, this is right before
the
Rise of Skywalker.
It's crazy.
That's cool.
That's crazy awesome. I was going to say something else, but I can't remember.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to get excited there. I'm sorry.
It's gone. Whatever it was, it's totally gone.
Talk about Hondo. Rise Skywalker, The Dish, Battle of Crait.
Oh, Batuu. That's also the planet that Anakin goes to in the Thrawn series.
Oh, he goes there?
Yeah, Anakin and Padme gets lost there. One of her handmaids goes off and does stuff. And that's where Anakin and Thrawn meet before Anakin becomes Vader.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so from what I understand is there's laser bolts that are on the cantina on Batuu, and that's from that battle.
So if you go to Galaxy's Edge and ask if Padme had been here at one time, they should play it. They would hopefully know.
Or
they would say somebody here knew that she was here at one time.
And if you're at a certain vendor, they'll hand you the doll, I think, right? There's a doll of Padme? Or is that a doll of Rey?
I don't know.
Well, the other thing, too, if you go to Galaxy's Edge, go to the droid depot, because that's where you can get that coin to load it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Noise. So wasn't it BD-1, Buddy Droid 1, right?
BD-1, yeah.
Can we make him at the droid?
Not yet. I think it's just BB
just,
units and
Astro droids
and BB units. Yeah. Man, that'd be so cool.
Yeah, R series or BB series. That's all you can do right now.
What was Iden Versio's droid?
I think it was a modified interrogator droid.
I like how they painted him white and orange.
When she joins
the droids. And then, BB-8 is white and orange. It's pretty cool. But yes.
It has a name. I just don't remember what it was.
So that'd be pretty cool, though, to see Hondo.
It's a seeker droid.
Oh, okay. To see Hondo there at the beginning of The Rise of Skywalker. A seeker droid?
Yeah, that's ID-10 seeker droid.
Oh, ID.
And it's canon.
Yeah, because he's in the Battlefront 2. Slice that. I like how that's like a thing now in Star Wars. Like, slice it. Yeah. I'm like, that's pretty cool. But what else was? Okay, so somebody posted on Instagram apparently it was somebody on Instagram posted that Pride is Hux's father.
in The Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. That's where it took off. And everyone's like,
okay.
No.
It wasn't variety.
It wasn't. They had seen the picture and they posted it. And that one person who posted it that took off. And everybody was like, oh yeah, Pride's Hux's father. And then other people were like, no, because Hux
has a father already in canon.
And so that was a thing that took off that no one really understands why or how it gained traction. But yeah, there's no way. And yeah, so that was one thing that
I because
read.
We didn't see it in the article, and it's like we read that article immediately, you know.
And not once like, did they say it's Hux Pride change. Hux changed his name to Pride. It's like, no,
doesn't
make any sense. Yeah. And like even the describing him in the article, it's like no, it doesn't even say it.
They don't even do the same job.
Yeah, so I don't understand why this guy. I guess he just wanted to be like, oh, this would be pretty cool, and he posted it. And that was it. It exploded everywhere.
Well, and the other thing is, like, Star Wars fans are starved for information about this movie, man. We gotta have it.
Gotta have it, man.
And so anytime anything that even sounds slightly plausible comes out, it gets blasted all over the internet.
Man. So should we like, start telling, like, everyone to contact Lucasfilm to give us another trailer before October?
Yeah, go for it.
I mean, let me ask you, would you want to see another trailer before October?
Yes and no. It's like, it comes out, it's my job to watch it, and I'm getting to the point where it's like, I'd rather just get the experience, because all four of us might be reunited again and see it, so...
I just can't wait to see it. I honestly, I'm so excited about it.
Are you more hyped for this one than you have been than you were for The Force Awakens?
Not for The Force Awakens, but I will say I'm more hyped for this one than I was for The Last Jedi. And I was pretty hyped for The Last Jedi.
I think my level of hype gets bigger with... Like, for The Force Awakens, it was insane. For The Last Jedi, it was bigger because I was like, what's the next chapter? Mm-hmm. And now, like, it's for me, it's building up so much that it's like, this is the final one. This is the final... I gotta know how this all ends. Yeah. I gotta know how it all ties together at the very end.
Yeah, my hype for The Force Awakens was insane.
Yeah.
Like, my year was just shot, because it was just all The Force Awakens stuff and trying to find out stuff. It was before we had our podcast.
Yeah.
Hype for The Last Jedi was super, super high. Not as intense, but it was up there. I was ready to make this movie my favorite movie of all time. I love the title, love the director, and it's like we're getting Luke back, and then that happened. So now it's like... So now I'm like, it's like, I'm excited, but it's not like it's, whatever happens on screen isn't gonna like, I'm keeping my hype levels pretty low.
I can't
after help the trailer it. Though, I'm like, oh my gosh, Star Wars is back.
Mm-hmm. I can't help it, man. Like, I'm hyped because of The Force Awakens, because of The Last Jedi. I'm super hyped for The Rise of Skywalker because I want to know the next step, and plus now I want to know what in the world's been going on this whole time.
Yeah.
And what Rey's part is in all of this, you know, because I think that's amazing. I'm hyped.
Hyped.
Just kidding. All right. What else we got today?
I was going to bring up something, but then you started talking about that last topic.
I'm sorry.
And I totally forgot.
I was going to bring something up, and then you started talking. I'm just kidding.
I'm sorry, guys.
God, what was it?
I get so excited about Star Wars.
Did we want to talk about the thing that we were talking about earlier?
What's the thing that we were talking about earlier?
The whole collider.
Oh.
Nah.
No.
Nah.
I think we should talk about it.
I mean, mind you, I'm not a collider, like, listener. So when I saw this clip, I was just really embarrassed for the collider, for how they portray that. And plus, he said something in the video. All right, yeah, just get into it. Just do it. Just talk about it.
So I've been a collider fan for... 2 decades. I would go to the website, look at movie news, and I can remember going to school and going to Collider and seeing Frosty and Peter Cerretta, who now does Slash Film, do like little videos on stuff, and I was always asking myself, why don't they do this like weekly? There's so much news they could just do weekly, and eventually they ended up doing it weekly. But Collider purchased AMC's Movie Talk, and now it's Collider's Movie Talk, and they brought over Christian Harloff, who does his show, Jedi Council. And I do watch it time to time, most of the time, when I do have the time. And I do agree with a lot of what he says. And he just he hosts a talk show, like almost like a Howard Stern type movie talk show in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And he started talking about the fact that Collider Jedi Council didn't get invited to Galaxy's Edge. And he said, I'm not going to talk about it because they didn't invite us. And they're usually invited to all the big stuff. They usually have someone. But see, the thing, Collider was invited, but it just wasn't Jedi Council. It was their writers. And they have a website where they write about film and Star Wars. So two people did attend Galaxy's Edge, the opening, got the whole experience with all the major media. So he just said that on his podcast, he wasn't going to talk about Galaxy's Edge because he personally did not get to go in. The Jedi Council show wasn't invited. And that was it. And his producer got on air and said, no, you're talking about it. And then he said, no, I'm not. You can get someone else. So he was very upset. I mean, he does a lot of behind the scenes work, and he's a Star Wars guy. I was telling you before, his last name is Canon in Star Wars. Harloff Minor is a planet, one of Claudia Gray's books. So, yeah, he was just extremely hurt. And he's in L.A. Mm-hmm. And it's not like they'd have to fly him or anything. He just drive to the park. And I know there's other podcasters that I personally met at Chicago Celebration that got to go as well. Mm-hmm. And you kind of ask yourself the question, okay, so what criteria did they make? How did they make the decision to pick who they picked? And I do know some people from Atlanta got to go. And there's probably a whole lot more, like, not, like, super huge publications they got to attend. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I guess in the end, it's kind of who you know and how well connected and how well Disney knows you.
Well, I mean, Collider was there, just not his.
Right.
And plus, Collider owns Jedi Council, right? Like, is it underneath
Jedi Council is a show of Collider.
Yeah. So I guess for Disney, they were like, well, we got the writers, we got the people, the bloggers, and they could go on each of these things, which the producers said they're going to be here. They have good interviews. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good notes. We are going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm not going to talk about it. And at first, I understood where he was coming from. But then if you watch this video, it gets worse as it goes for me. Because I'm like, oh, my gosh, dude. Like, at first, it sounded like a professional. Then it just ends up sounding like a kid who didn't get a candy bar at the end of the day.
Right.
And he said, he goes, I've been busting my butt for 5 years as a Star Wars fan. And I'm like, what does that even mean? I don't understand that. Yeah. I mean, for 5 years, he says he's been working hard as a Star Wars fan. And I'm like, I've been working hard as a Star Wars fan for 20
years. Well, I think he meant he's been working hard to promote Star Wars. And he does have a lot of follows, views, fans. I mean, he's like a really big time source for a lot of people to get their Star Wars info. So, yeah, that's his job. That's his career. That's what he does. That's all he does.
Talk
about Star Wars, read up on all the canon, read all the books, but he gets all the books for free. Mm-hmm. They give him the stuff. But this one instance where he didn't get an in that he thought he deserved, yeah, that does come off kind of bad. Yeah. But, I mean, he's always on camera. And, I mean, he's going to have a slip up here and there.
Yeah. Yeah, and, true. I mean, we.
I give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, if you have a camera on you 24/7, just about like this guy does, I mean, you're going to get to a point where you get frustrated. And it's an early morning show, too.
Yeah.
So,
what was your opinion on it?
I mean, don't care either way.
That's amazing.
And, I mean, he's a super awesome guy. I've met him at every celebration. And, yeah, I've been listening to him for a long time. He used to have a podcast called Far, Far Away. Mm-hmm. And he hosted it with Tiffany Smith. And that was when The Force Awakens was about to come out. And that show got me super hyped. That was one of the pieces of media podcast that really, like, got my hype levels through the roof. But it got disbanded. Tiffany Smith is now a working actor. And she's a big Star Wars fan, big Lord of the Rings fan. So
almost like us, right?
Yeah.
But if it makes him feel any better, Star Wars Stuff Podcast did not get invited either to Galaxy's Edge. So hopefully he feels better about that, knowing that we
an established podcast today. Get to go. Yeah. Just saying.
I mean, we're not as established, but
I'm just joking.
We're working on it.
We're working. We're, well, we're trying.
Seen our numbers lately.
Yeah, we try. No, I'm just kidding. But all right, what else was that? It for today.
I think that's it for the day. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was fun. I had a lot of fun talking about that. And thank you all for listening to last week's podcast.
Had a lot of fun too, Dan.
Yeah, thank you.
What a good time we just had.
What a great time. Thank you for listening to last week's episode. And also thank you for listening to all our episodes. We appreciate it. Tune in next week. We have another awesome topic for you. If you want to look us up on Instagram, Facebook, our other Facebook page, if you want to donate to us, all the links are going to be there at the bottom. And yeah, we'll be back next week. And may the force be with you. Always. Pew, 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 pew. It's a trap.